Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump for August 6th, 2025. We got an awful lot to talk about. I want to thank our lovely sponsors, Blue Chew and NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let me tell you, NordVPN.com/Fightful is getting put over big today. If you're here, leave a thumbs up, get your super chats and humper chats in. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about, but there certainly are three really big stories. One of which is the Brock Lesnar situation. And Jimmy, I know that you wanted to address the tweet of yours that got a lot of attention, quite frankly, a lot of negative attention this week. And it's something that you and I have been talking about personally, quite frankly, for 2.5 days now.
Yeah, I'll be talking about it a lot. Yeah, this is I'll tell the story and then hopefully we can move on and talk about the other aspects of Brock's return and everything. So Sunday night, SummerSlam's over. And I go on Twitter and I see a lot of posts from people that clearly were not happy that Brock was brought back. And I see a lot of people that are calling him a rapist. And for some reason, the first thing that hit me, you know, like him or not, Brock's a father. I'm a father. He's got kids and his kids are at an age where they're probably on social media a lot. And for some reason, I thought to myself, imagine if his kids are excited. He's back in WWE. They go online and he's being called a rapist. And he's, you know, there are some very serious allegations against him, but that's not one of them. So I decided to put a post on Twitter to try to clarify the misinformation. I wasn't defending WWE for bringing him back. I sure as hell was not defending Brock for the alleged conduct in the Janelle Grant case. I thought I was clarifying some misinformation, but what I've learned is that I worded it poorly. I didn't add proper context. It's something that you know, kind of had to, I opened my eyes to, I guess. Didn't add proper context, character limits, my mistake, whatever you want to call it. Next thing I know, Sean Ross Sapp hits me up and he says, people are mad about your tweet. And I go on Twitter, this is like an hour later, and there are like 200,000 views on the post already. And there are comments like, Jimmy Van, you're a pig and you're supporting a rapist. And I thought, oh boy, what did I do this time? So I deleted the post very reluctantly. And the reason I say that is, you know me, Sean, I don't care if people shit on me online. I don't, you know, respond to negative comments. I have bigger priorities in life. But I realized in this case that it could have a negative impact on the FIFA brand, which impacts you and everybody else. And so even though it was not my intention to defend the things that I've been accused of defending, I deleted it and I put up another post basically saying what I'm saying right now. So anybody offended by that post or confused by that post, my intention was not what people construed it to be. So I'm sorry for the misunderstanding.
And to me, one, character limits isn't a thing. You've got Twitter blue. You could have posted that regardless, but I've made my feelings clear immediately after the show, all through Monday, yesterday, and today. And obviously I was very frustrated about it because I felt like an important omission was the fact that Brock Lesnar in the lawsuit, although he is not a defendant, he has not been charged criminally. We're not talking about like a court of law. We're not saying throw Brock in jail. I mean, he doesn't have criminal charges pressed there. This is a fake pro wrestling company that opted to bring him back. And the situation to me was, well, the lawsuit alleges, and I want to say alleges, that he planned to participate in activity as associated with a sex trafficking ring. And people will say, well, maybe he didn't know. Well, I don't know the facts of it yet because I'm not a court of law, and that's what discovery is for. And that's what Janelle Grant and her team are hoping to get to. But the lawsuit alleges that she was farmed out by her boss to WWE talent while a contract negotiation was going on. And I felt like that was important context to add when saying he didn't do anything illegally, because the lawsuit alleges that he planned to. And I think intent goes a very long way as it relates to this particular situation. And I had people, you know, asking me about it, and I was like, listen, Jimmy is, I don't agree with Jimmy. Jimmy does not represent the 40 other Fightful staff members. Jimmy represents Jimmy, and he is, and he's got Fightful in his username and stuff. But the thing that I communicated to you, Jimmy, was that you and I discuss all the time. And for years, people have seen my social media conduct and complained about that. I wondered what the benefit was. And I was like, you know, that's Brock's to settle out, to sort out. It's WWE's job to clarify that. I was happy to clarify on our post show, hey guys, it is not fair to call him something that he is not alleged to have been called. I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's fair. You can't just blanket statement things like that. The lawsuit is out there. It's public. You can read it. But I mean, also, it affects the staff and all that. Jimmy, like I saw a lot of people say, I'm not giving Jimmy Van my money. Jimmy Van will probably be the first one to tell you he largely runs this site at cost. Like I would say, I've said this publicly, Jeremy Lambert makes more money off Fightful than Jimmy Van does. I think that's a pretty fair thing to say, but that affects us. And in an era where costs are rising for an awful lot of things that you'll talk about, it's an easy way for people to go, well, forget Fightful. We're not going to deal with them. We're not going to give them our business. But I think that differing voices is important, but also speaking to somebody and saying, here is the issue of it, and this is what I think about it, is also very important. And I reached out to Jimmy directly, and Jimmy had that conversation with me directly. I know that I'll have people say, well, why didn't you dunk on him on Twitter? Like this person, I don't want to even name him. I always reach out interpersonally. And the difference is Jimmy had that conversation with me interpersonally. And I appreciated that. I mean, listen, there were a whole lot of things we discussed over the last couple of days that I didn't agree with, but I do appreciate you clarifying. But
yeah. And again, my intention was not, I mean, it was like 11 p.m. at night. My intention was not for it to be a debate about the facts of the case. That was not my intention at all. And like I said, I wasn't defending any of the allegations against him. I just was trying to clarify the rape comments. That was it. And I learned my lesson, man. I learned my lesson that, got to do better in terms of context. So I told you next time, I'll just probably say nothing, because without proper context, this is what's going to happen.
And, I want to address some of these comments, because I saw somebody say, Lib Sean strikes again. Sex trafficking is not a liberal or conservative situation, or at least it shouldn't be. It should be a human rights sex trafficking situation. If you're politicizing that, you're a fucking moron, and I don't want your business. I don't, regardless of what you think. We've got people saying no one has been proven guilty of anything. WWE is not a court of law. They took Steve Maclin and Wesley Blake off TV because their less good partner tweeted about Donald Trump a few years ago and then never brought them back, fired them, and kept him. They have the ability to exercise discretion. This was a Triple H and Nick Khan decision.
And to touch upon that, because again, I was not defending WWE's decision to bring him back. I'm actually very surprised by their decision to bring him back, and we can get into it whenever you want. I'm surprised by their decision to bring him back. And as a matter of fact, you and I spoke off the air just before we went on the air, where you told me some things from the lawyer's perspective, which surprised me, because I said, I don't know why they would do that. So yeah, that was not my intention at all.
Quite frankly, my stance and what I've been told is that they simply don't care. And that's it. They simply don't care.
Shocking to me. It's surprising to me. So let's talk about the different layers to this return, because there's a lot of them. So sure. I had thought that, and you know what they always say about assuming, right? I had assumed that WWE's lawyers did their due diligence and green lit it. That was my assumption. And then you told me what you just said now. My immediate thought after SummerSlam, right? So after SummerSlam was done, my thought was it's risky because you don't know where they're at with Discovery and the Vince lawsuit. And for anybody that doesn't know the legal process, what Discovery means is you got the plaintiff, which is Janelle Grant's side. You got the defendants, which is WWE and Vince McMahon. They have to gather up all the evidence they have to support their case, and then they have to share it with the other side. That's called Discovery. And yes. Evidence could be anything from emails, text messages, video clips, pictures, documents, anything to prove their side. I assumed that WWE's lawyers are privy to that, and they've checked it all out. And I haven't heard the latest as far as whether Discovery is going to be made public or private, because I know that that's something they're going back and forth on.
But I would imagine WWE and Vince McMahon have different lawyers at this stage, especially right. considering okay. the fact that Vince McMahon had to bull rush his way back into his own company. Because they wanted to get him out. The whole situation was leaked by a board member who wanted to get him out. There was an investigation from the board. So, I mean, like, what is out there? It's tough to say, but that's what Discovery is for. And the thing is, so I just want to say, Jay Polanco, you are a part of, unless you're talking about other people that are doing this, saying defending Brock when he saw a text proving he knew what Vince was trafficking this woman and his buddies, including Brock. Shame on you weirdos for doing it. Well, nobody here is doing that. And I want to make that abundantly clear. That is just not the case. But there is like some element of plausible deniability of what did Brock know. But Brock knew enough that the owner of WWE was farming out a woman that worked for him. And Vince was actively claiming that he was doing it and showing everybody. And when they talk about, oh my God, all these views, and it was such a shocking moment. It was a shocking moment because the man that you brought back was named 44 times in this lawsuit. That's why people were shocked, because they didn't think you would be crazy enough to bring him back.
Well, this is where it could get really risky. So, you know, Janelle Grant alleges that Brock requested certain acts be done on video and alleges sure. that he tried to set up a sexual encounter, right? I yes. haven't seen a lot of screenshots of the actual texts between Vince and Brock, between Janelle and Brock. There's a lot of summaries in the case, but I haven't seen a lot of actual texts. What happens if, hypothetically, WWE is in the middle of a big program with Brock Lesnar? Maybe they keep him after Cena, and he's in a big program. And what happens if something from Discovery, maybe something that WWE is not aware of yet, what if something makes the news? Because if anything becomes public, it's going to make the news. What do you do if something makes the news and you got Brock in a major program?
Them? Oops, my bad. Or nothing. Or right? nothing.
You think, cause,
and for those asking, oh, do the partners care? Do all that? USA Network had Vince on the day that that some of the stuff dropped. He put himself on TV.
Do you know if Cena, do you know if the thing with Cena is one and done for Brock?
No, I'm told that he's had a contract like the entire time. Yeah. So let's get into some of the things that people are addressing here. It's been exhausting seeing fans on Twitter deflect this Lesnar situation and stupid tribalism saying, what about AEW? I saw people saying that just because I reported about the Hurt Syndicate thing, it was a WWE psyop to distract. Let me make this clear. I don't carry water for any company. I don't report WWE news that AEW would give me or vice versa. Like that is not what I do. I don't care about that. Nobody pays my bills but Fightful and the subscribers that we have. But yes, people making it a tribalism thing, like, looking back on the Mike Tyson thing, I'm like, AEW shouldn't have brought him in. They absolutely shouldn't. It's an asinine thing. Now, I want to address this absolute idiot that is in our comments saying, seriously, guy hasn't been charged with a crime. Trash human, no doubt, but he hasn't been charged with a crime. But you all keep watching. Guess what my job is?
My job is to report wrestling news and review it.
Do you think that when people were upset in media with the NFL concussion cover-up, I'm just not going to cover it anymore. No, you've got... What happens when you stop covering it? A lot of this behavior goes unchecked. What are you talking about?
And to be clear...
A lot of the dog whistling that happens on the very show goes unchecked. To be clear,
it's a civil suit.
Yes.
So Vince McMahon, remember we've talked about how he's been investigated by the feds. And I think there's a possibility, maybe, depending on discovery, that Vince ends up on criminal charges. But at this point, it's a civil suit across the board.
AEW does some cringe stuff, but it's not close to these straw man arguments. Listen, I don't even want to bring that up in relation to it. Like, it's we're talking about this. And then when we talk about AEW later, it'll be talking about AEW there. We've got Jay Polanco saying Brock didn't do anything is a lie. Brock did. Now that's also not genuine. That's not what was said. It was that he didn't do anything illegal, but he had planned to alleged in the lawsuit. Yes, that was what was alleged. And that is absolutely context that I feel like should have been noted. And Tim McFall says, Jimmy, you have to understand how it made victims of SA feel. Cases go unreported because victims don't feel supported. It's triggering to see someone seem to defend those actions. Donating to a charity that supports victims of SA goes a long way. I will make sure this goes to such, but Jimmy, that one's for you to address.
Yeah. I mean, again, my intention was not to defend anything. I didn't word it properly. I didn't even realize, I guess, what I opened myself up to until you hit me up and we talked about it. So, like I said, I apologize if people took the wrong way. That was not my intention at all.
Josh, thank you very much for the super chat. We greatly appreciate you. Adrian, I will answer this, even though I don't want to like romanticize Brock and all that stuff, but I think that you did a good job naming the talent that most people would want to see him against. Gunther, Obafemi, Jacob Fatu, Braun Breaker. With him being back, I would assume, unless it's just John Cena, that those are the people. But I think that that comment that Adrian just made is also a pretty good highlight of, like, I don't think you really needed him during this period either. I don't think they need Brock Lesnar at this stage.
That brings me to my next point, actually. So there's been some conflicting comments regarding John Cena's connection to this. And I want to know what you've heard about this. So on the SummerSlam post show, Triple H said that John Cena has earned the right to call the shots. That's how he put it. He's earned the right to call the shots. And he suggested that Cena requested the match with Brock because Brock is one of his all-time great rivals. But then Cena was interviewed by a guy named Adam Glenn on the street. He does interviews called Adam's Apple. And he asked Cena about Brock. And Cena's response, this is a direct quote. Cena's response was, I've been saying the same thing for 25 years. They deal them, I play them. So what have you heard, Sean? Because it sounds like Hunter's kind of pushing it like this is what Cena asked for. And Cena's saying they tell me what to do and I do it.
This is a hunch, not a report, but it definitely seemed like Triple H was trying to deflect responsibility. I feel like that was probably a big reason why Michael Cole went on TV on Monday and said that Nick Khan and Triple H reached out to him because John Cena has said in the lead up to his retirement tour that he doesn't want to pick his opponents. Randy Orton verified that. And then he doubled down and said, they deal him. I do whatever. However, John Cena is powerful enough to say, I don't think that's a good idea. However, considering, and again, we're talking about a guy who's responsible for much of the success in his life. He has still, you know, sort of been pretty open about his relationship with Vince McMahon.
So my next point regarding Cena, SmackDown last week, his heel turn ends pretty abruptly, right? I don't know where, no angle. It happened so abruptly. I thought it was a setup and I thought that SummerSlam, he was going to jump Cody. Yeah. And he didn't. So this leads me to two questions, and then I'm going to throw it to you for your thoughts. Number one, did Hunter know that the heel turn sucked so that he wanted to get rid of it? And number two, did they cut the deal with Brock, like, you know, quick enough, I guess, that they knew he was going to be at SummerSlam and they had to turn Cena back babyface? So my question is, was Brock's return a pivot for John Cena because they recognized that the heel turn sucked?
I think that the heel turn was going to end fairly soon anyway, but John Cena kind of unloaded the clip on SmackDown about that. And I think pretty well confirmed what I had suspected for months. And I've been saying this on all of our shows, like, I can't report it. Nobody will talk about it, but clearly The Rock and Travis Scott were intended for more than what we saw. And they just weren't there. And it sucked as a result. But they knew that Brock was coming back in the weeks prior. Very few people knew that Brock was coming back in the weeks prior. But, I mean, that's just, as you see on, like, the Unreal series, that's something that they're doing a better job of, keeping those secrets and keeping that private. But
Do you think maybe they were cutting their losses? Like, you know, the heel turn's not working out, so let's pivot?
Yeah. Yes, but I also think that that's why... I think that was just the chaos, but I think they were going to do that anyway. And James says, if WWE can bring Brock back, who's to say Vince can't be back at some point? Wouldn't put it past them.
No way.
No way. Maybe. And like, I don't think ever in a creative standpoint, if for some reason he gets, everybody uses the word cleared in the wrong way. Vince could settle. Yeah. If Vince settled, people would say he's been cleared. That's not the way that it works. Not the way that it works. I don't think that Vince is coming back. I will say this, the percentage chance, I think, increased. Jay Polanco says, sorry, SRS, I mean the comments defending. Is this the reason they cancel press conferences? Oh, boy, is this
something that
I'm glad to talk about. Yes, this is a big reason why they canceled the press conferences. I got a question, honestly, yesterday that broke my heart. Malcolm, who, a lovely guy, unfortunately, Twitter, a lot of people know him as the guy who asked the Waffle House question. He goes, do you really think that my question is why they canceled it?
And absolutely not.
No. In fact, they love that question. That's the kind of question that they want. And no disrespect to Malcolm. I love him. I like that he does his own thing. Media is such a broad thing and you can be anything. I don't give a damn what anybody else asks as long as it doesn't impede on me. Like in that sense, like I took issue with when three people with Fightful bylines did ask about Vince McMahon and somebody goes, well, now I got a nicer question. I took an issue with that, but I don't take issue with somebody asking about Taylor Swift or Waffle House. I don't have an issue with somebody asking about Vince McMahon or lawsuits because that's why you're there. But I had a lot of people saying, well, these things are a farce. Yeah, they're on their WWE's kayfabe fucking channel. Their fake wrestling channel. Of course they are. Why could you be surprised that they would want content creators there asking that stuff? There are just some people that are like have such big followings that they couldn't say no. But here's what I saw, Jimmy, and I had told you about this last week, actually.
Yeah.
I said they do junkets, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, sometimes Money in the Bank. They don't for Survivor Series because they have to fly in the talent Thanksgiving. Thank God they don't do that. They're not going to do a media junket with interviews at the Royal Rumble. It's in Saudi. So this was a good opportunity for them to do a hard reset on how they do media. Because what WWE loves now is their own people doing that. They like sending people to Nikki Bella or Cody Rhodes or The Undertaker or the Industry Plant podcasts that are out there that have just some guy sitting in a room in a studio that the podcast platform pays for. Because they can control a lot of that stuff. They want to be their own media. And I don't like it, but I understand why WWE does it. But yes, this was a significant reason as to why they canceled the press conferences, because now they don't have to deal with that media element for at least 8 months. And who's to say that when WrestleMania rolls around, they aren't just like, oh, sorry, we're not doing that anymore either.
Before Brock came back, I thought it was because Hunter's involved with the Trump administration and politics are so divisive, right? And so I thought he wanted to avoid that. Because obviously
he's not good at answering those questions. He's very bad at it.
Right. But like, even though he wasn't often asked hard questions, but even still, why open yourself up to the risk of you can control the narrative? So I figured it was because of the political involvement, but then as soon as Brock comes out, you know, that's gotta be why. Right. So now we're going to end up with the post shows in front of the crowd. And you know, it's very staged. What can you say?
Evans says TKO still willing to work with Conor McGregor. He's been found guilty of rape in a civil court in Ireland. Doesn't surprise me that they don't care about the Brock issue legally. When I saw Dana White inviting like Andrew Tate, the Tate brothers, to his stuff, I was like, honestly, it was one of the only times I was like, well, thank God I stopped covering MMA. And then I just see WWE continuing to draw their line in the sand. And listen, I already have went on and on about the connections to administrations and stuff like that. And I know that I'll have some people say, why are you crying about it in the comments while they are actively crying about an adult speaking about it? But
do you think the Cena heel turn is going to go down as one of the greatest creative blunders of all time? Or do you think that's just going to be forgotten?
Yeah, I do. Now, I mean, I just want to say this. Well, it doesn't even count because Cena had already turned face. But like, God almighty, that match on Sunday was unbelievable. It was one of Cena's best.
Yes.
But like, I saw people comparing it to the Austin heel turn. And I was like, what? There were at least things that really entertained me during that, like him playing guitar and him and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
There weren't a ton of stuff like that in this Cena heel turn. That I like some of the matches, some of the cool, oh my God, they're doing it one more time things. Yeah. That was cool.
I mean, for me, it was really the pipe bomb and R-Truth attacking him when R-Truth had been gone. And and then maybe him and Orton, him and Punk. But, you know, as far as them bringing back Brock as an opponent, I mean, he's only got 12 appearances left, right? And when you think about who would be entertaining in the ring with John Cena, because this is it. So who would be entertaining with John Cena? AJ Styles comes to mind. Dominic Mysterio comes to mind. Joe Hendry comes to mind. There's a lot of guys that I think would be very interesting in the ring with John Cena.
I don't think the Joe Hendry one would work right now.
You don't think so?
I don't. No. But Arduit says, wasn't trying to deflect. Tribalism wasn't the intent. Oh, never mind. I mean, listen, I get it. I appreciate that, though. I appreciate that. Meet Normus says, within an actually, you know what? I'll save this one for the ESPN thing. David says, the most worrying element to me is that much of the wrestling media barely mentioned the allegations when covering Brock's return. David, I appreciate the comment, but I don't think that's true whatsoever. I saw vast and expansive coverage of this. I saw a lot of people talking about it. It was a very, very heavily covered topic, and I don't think that implying otherwise is fair to the scope of wrestling media. And again, I want to make this clear. Not everybody is qualified to do it. I'll say this. I'll have people that try to dunk on us and say, oh, well, why hasn't Fightful covered this more? We have covered the Janelle Grant lawsuit by volume more than any website on the internet. I don't think that we specialize in it as well as BJ Bethel, Brandon Thurston, John Pollock. And that's okay. You can't ask the best quarterback to be the best wide receiver and vice versa. There are some things that they are better at than us and some things that we are better at than them. And a lot of times I refer to their coverage.
But, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the mainstream coverage of Brock's return. How has the mainstream covered it?
Little to none. I mean, they're doing a big media tour about this ESPN thing. You know, ESPN ain't going to ask them about it because why would they, right?
Yeah.
And that's a whole other can of worms that we are going to.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get into on the other side of this break. MyBookie AG is where Fightful is getting all of our odds, not just pro wrestling, which, you can bet on pro wrestling, UFC, boxing. That's where we're getting our odds from. If you're watching In the Weeds and they're talking about basketball odds, it's going to be from MyBookieAG. Use the code FIGHTFUL, get a $50 bonus when you deposit $100, or get a $100 bonus when you deposit $200. Check it out. If you think you know more than the average wrestling fan, head over to MyBookie. They have some odds up all the time for upcoming events, whether it be WWE, AEW, anybody. Make sure you check them out in addition to their other fantastic deals. They've been around for quite a while, very reliable. MyBookie AG, use that code FIGHTFUL. Now, only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but head over, see what lines they got now. Not just for pro wrestling, maybe you're interested in baseball, football, basketball, soccer, or just football again, right? MyBookie AG. So, huge news today that WWE and ESPN broke at the crack of 6 a.m., Jimmy. I woke up, saw the email, and thought I dreamed it.
Really?
Because it was 6 a.m. From a business perspective, why do you think they announced this at 6 p.m. or 6 a.m., I'll ask.
I don't know.
To get ahead of the markets?
Maybe that's possible to get ahead of the markets. I know that Fox's app is going live the same day.
Yes.
Maybe it's because they announced the ESPN app at the same time. So maybe they wanted to make sure that it didn't leak. I don't know. The markets is a possibility. I haven't even checked ESPN's numbers today or anything, but it's possible.
So, I posted a very, very expanded story on FightfulSelect.com, but I'll give you guys some bullet points as it relates to this. Here's the long and short of it. WWE and ESPN announced a deal that will kick off ahead of WrestleMania next year and will end before WrestleMania 2031. The reason for that is they want to negotiate with the leverage of WrestleMania next time, just like they did this time. No content will remain on Peacock as of now. This is just for the PLEs in general. The archives, when I talked to people for Fightful Select, they had implied that, well, we've got a pretty good deal with Google and YouTube because of our huge presence there. So it's likely that we're going to be trying that out on the vault channels and all that.
Figured.
Nothing committed, but it made sense. So it is a deal to put the WWE PLEs on ESPN's upcoming direct-to-consumer service. So think ESPN Plus, think HBO Max, those types of things. That will launch for $29.99 a month. Now, it is important to note that a number of these will also air on the ESPN cable channel. What an ESPN rep told me and confirmed was, by the way, if you have ESPN through your cable service, you will be able to log in to our app through your credentials with that service, and you will have access to all of these PLEs.
And sorry, Sean, just to cut you off real quick. People are saying that Disney's earnings call was at 8:30 this morning, so that's why.
That makes sense.
I didn't know it was an earnings call today.
So, speaking of, Hulu is being integrated completely into Disney Plus. Right now, you can get a package for ESPN, Hulu, Disney. We're going to learn more about those types of packages in the future. But right now, if you like, for example, if you have YouTube TV, you can now log into this new ESPN direct to consumer service and get access to these WWE PLEs. And I'll tell you guys what a rep said to me. Because I asked about the NFL Network integration. They said NFL Network, including both linear and digital rights, will be owned and operated by ESPN and fully integrated into the ESPN DTC upon launch alongside traditional pay television distribution. Think of it as the SEC Network. ESPN would also own broad rights to the Red Zone brand and distribute that to pay TV operators for continued inclusion in their sports packages, but says this is separate, won't be this season. The transactions are subject to parties' negotiation and definitive agreements, various approvals, including the team owners, and customary closing conditions. Subscribers to ESPN via any traditional TV provider, including cable and satellite, will automatically be granted access to the full ESPN DTC service via authentication in the existing ESPN app without paying the $29.99 a month fee. For example, if you subscribe to DirecTV, you'll just need to sign in via the ESPN app and you'll have access to everything ESPN Platforms has to offer, including WWE PLEs. Or, Jimmy, they could use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change a virtual location, log into their Netflix account, and you get everything. And it's like a few bucks a month plus your Netflix subscription. I'll tell you guys more about that later. But your immediate reactions to this, because this will be a subject we cover heavily.
My first reaction is no surprise. It was going to be Netflix or ESPN. It was going to be one or the other.
Yes.
And the other reaction is people are not going to be happy with the cost.
No,
because now you already talked about there's other ways that you're going to be able to get it. And I saw the CNBC write up and they said that it's something else you're going to be able to do is you can bundle it with Disney Plus and Hulu for $35.99 a month, as opposed to paying the $29.99 a month. You can also pay for the year $2.99 a year for the ESPN app. But when you're used to paying $10.99 a month for Peacock on the ad supported tier, or $16.99 a month for the premium plus ad free
$9.99 for the WWE network.
Right. So going up to $29.99, that's asking a lot, especially in a shitty economy. So I can understand how people are going to have a big problem with that. This is the new cable. I mean, we've been talking about it. I had this conversation ages ago with Brandon Thurston. This is the new cable. Eventually, what cable is going to be is a whole bunch of streaming apps for one price. That's going to be cable. And you're going to see more networks.
All that the audience ever really wanted was an a la carte option. And they're like, well, no, we'll do that. And then slowly it became a la carte. It's just significantly more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they're going to have to pivot as time goes by because like traditional cable is going to die and not everybody's going to pay $200 a month for, you know, a bunch of apps. So they're going to have to pivot, but you see where it's going. So Fox on the same day that ESPN launches, August 21st, I think it is. Fox One is launching the same day. Everything that you can watch on Fox broadcast, you can watch on the app. And same thing with ESPN. Everything that you can watch in ESPN, you can watch on the app. And that's where cable is going to head. Brandon Thurston, did you cover everything that he said? He said that it doesn't include the tape library. He said ESPN is going to have pre and post PLE shows. And he said Sports Center is expected to broadcast at some PLE locations. And that's Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics that added that additional context. I saw people in the chat asking about Netflix. This is strictly US rights for PLE.
So if you're in the States, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Use the little app, change your virtual location, log into your Netflix account. They're very chill about it. Let me tell you, Netflix is probably really happy about this and hoping people do get Netflix for this reason, because you can watch all the stuff there. Jake from Windy City says, funny though, Cornette still orders PPV on cable. Is this like a joke or for real?
I think you still can, can't you?
I didn't even know that.
I think you can.
I didn't even know it was an option. Jake from Windy City could see TNA or AAA go on Peacock as a make good. There is no make good. Right. Their deal is up. They don't owe Peacock anything.
Right.
In fact, WWE has offered Peacock an awful lot of additional content. This is why you're seeing AAA pop up on YouTube and things like that. Like, there's no make good. The deal is done. That's it. Like, all due respect, one of our sponsors is up. We don't owe them anything afterwards, and they don't owe us anything afterwards.
Do you think that there might be an avenue for TNA to end up on Peacock?
Yeah, especially considering we heard that they've been talking to A&E and CW, which clearly they're gonna talk to WWE and say, what do you guys think about these?
I'm sure Nick Khan's paving the way anyway.
Cool Fool says, have you heard AEW's thoughts about the WWE ESPN deal? There's going to be plenty of people who have the Disney Max bundle that will ditch Max for ESPN. I mean, maybe, but...
Different content.
I mean, well, yeah, they're still... I mean, Max and ESPN provide wildly different content, even though Max has some sports stuff as well. Mm-hmm. All I got one message from an AEW person, and it was just Vince McMahon with the $9.99 flag. And that's the only thing that I have heard about it. I'm sure I'll hear more today. But Meet Norma says, within an hour, Lil Wayne was doing the top 10, and ESPN brought back NFL Network and Red Zone. Then I see PLEs were going there too. And Triple H is on the air saying Brock can do what he wants. What is life anymore? So I want to talk about this because this kind of ties in with the Unreal stuff. And here we go. Cost of ESPN creates new avenues for Nord ads. You damn right it does. I tweeted him. I was like, let's renew for 5 years. I get Peacock for $20 a year on Black Friday.
Right.
I don't know how you feel about that now, buddy. And then he says, unhappy with paying $30 a month, get Nord, sign up to a UK Netflix account, and you get the PLEs for basically nothing. You're welcome, Sean. So in this environment that we live in, Jimmy, everything is way more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And I had people
in Canada as well. Canada is the same.
Yes. I had a good friend of mine, Dave LaGreca, call me up last week, and we talked about Unreal and like why they're doing it. Because he wanted my perspective, and I was happy to hear his. And I was like, quite frankly, if they think it can earn them more money, they're going to do it. That's what they care about. They are chipping away at the debt that they accrued acquiring UFC and WWE. And right now, you almost can't put more asses in the seats, Jimmy. They got so many asses in the seats, you can't fit more asses in seats. You can't go back to a full-on, here's $60, $80 for pay-per-view. They can't do that. They cannibalize their own pay-per-view market. That's why AEW won't do that yet, because they're not confident or they don't get a good enough deal to justify that. However, this is going to be a nice test, because UFC and ESPN, we watched those cards deteriorate. Once they got that guaranteed money, But that was an all-encompassing deal. WWE has to serve a lot of different masters still. USA Network, Netflix, ESPN. I think that will keep them a little bit more motivated to distribute it. But with ESPN, we saw them not care about it. Now I wonder how this affects the rest of the wrestling industry, Jimmy. Because, like, look at the fast food industry, for example. I don't eat a lot of fast food, but if you go to McDonald's, you are shocked. I went and got Long John Silver's the other day, Jimmy. Their chicken's good.
Never had it in my life. Used
to be like, you know, a dollar something per piece of chicken. I got four pieces of chicken. It was almost $13.
Yep.
But then you look at companies like Chili's that are doing very good now, and they're like, oh, wait, people have less money right now. So what we should do is get more people in the door by bringing down our prices and chipping away at that fast food market. It is a higher quality of food for a less amount, and people will remember that and become habitual customers while their thing is low. That's why, like, when we raised our prices, we raised them to $5.99, not $10.99 or $15.99. We wanted to make a cost-effective option as opposed to, oh my God, we've got to chip away at these subscribers that we lost because of inflation. We want to try to get more asses in the door. I felt like that's what WWE did with the network. They're like, all right, let's get asses in the door for $9.99.
That's what they thought. I mean, their projections were like 2 million US subscribers at the time.
And I think that it went a long way in helping WWE regain prominence, especially with Peacock and all that stuff too. But now WWE is stuck between this weird situation of, okay, well, they are as accessible as humanly possible. They are on cable TV. They are on Netflix. They are on Twitter. They're on A&E. They're on Tubi. They're on everything. They are on every freaking thing. But also, if you want to really go deep into WWE, you got to spend a lot of money to do that. And that includes going to the shows.
I mean, ultimately, it was whoever was going to pay them the top dollar, right? I mean, we talk about this. Yeah. When you're a public company, you have to show momentum quarter after quarter, year over year. You have to. And so I think that this is going to create an environment where some consumers are going to have to decide, do I want to watch the Rumble this month or do I want to watch the AEW pay-per-view? Do I want to get the TNA show this month or do I want to get Backlash, whatever? Because when people are used to paying, say, $10.99, now you're paying $29.99. That's significant for a lot of people. And it's going to make them have to decide whether or not they're going to watch another show or not. But WWE, I think they were getting $180 million a year from Peacock. Now they're getting like $325 million a year. that's a significant increase, and that's what they need to show shareholders. So
we have some questions. Do you see WDB and Disney working on amusement park deal in the future, rides, merch, etc.? Jimmy, when WDB is being shopped around, I thought this was going to be one of the primary reasons that Disney looked to acquire WWE, because I don't think there's a company on the planet that could monetize WWE better than Disney. Because I was like, okay, if they do that and they get like the Roman Reigns IP, you're going to have a complete wing of Disney parks that are WWE theme parks that would be huge attractions, that would do a lot of stuff like that. You would have people in Roman Reigns outfits that aren't Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? You'd have people walking around as Kane in mascots.
Have you ever been to, have you been to Disney since they got the Star Wars connection?
I've never been to Disney.
Never been to Disney. So the guy playing the guy playing Darth Vader's got to be 7'2". Like, he must have massive platforms or something. But yeah, I guess they'd have to do that with Kane. I mean, to answer his question, it goes without saying that would have to be just a completely separate deal. It has nothing to do with their streaming deal, but they're doing the Universal Studios thing, right? So
yes,
anything's possible.
Yes. Of which, like, I'm looking at this big gap in that. I'm thinking about trying to see if they'll do any media surrounding that, and I'll go check that out. But Bobby says, Jimmy and Sean, what do you think the long-term effects of this deal? Where do you think this lands the company 5 years from now? I am interested, honestly, regarding Nick Khan, because he has always been, like, sort of a conqueror in that regard. All their TV deals and stuff are set for, like, the next number of years. So... Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, does he hang around or does he go conquer his next thing?
I mean, he still has a ton of stock.
Yeah.
So I guess only he knows.
But I think he's got an employment deal. Let me see when his employment deal is up, or at least when it was up.
I can't recall if him and Hunter re-signed after the merger. I can't recall.
Through 2026. Okay. An employee agreement.
Okay.
What do you think, or what do you make of Alex Sherman saying WWE had a higher bidder but still went with ESPN? Seems like they really wanted to be associated with ESPN. That's something I want to dig into personally. But what would you make of that, Jimmy? You know what? I can tell you what I make of it. The worldwide leader in sports news and being under the guys. Jimmy, you know how many people over the last however many years have told me that I am on any particular company's payroll? Meanwhile, now WWE is on the worldwide leader in sports, which not just is a media broadcast company, but is a news company. There used to be real hard-hitting journalism on ESPN.
It'd be easier if I knew who the other bidder was. So like if it comes out who the other bidder was, it makes it easier to comment on it. But you're right. But at the same time, like, TKO's got such a deep relationship with ESPN that it just doesn't surprise me. Like I said, ESPN and Netflix, I thought it was going to be one or the other. And so
it's going to be a huge promotional cross branding effort. And now with ESPN, they are also in with Disney. They're in with a lot of that stuff. I would imagine it makes it easier for their talent to get additional deals and things like that.
Imagine if a PLE is simulcast on ABC.
Yeah.
It could happen, you know?
Yeah. Man, we still got a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Not going to lie, I would love to see Cody Rhodes versus Mickey Mouse in a match. Maybe one day. Maybe Nick Khan should go own a sports team, or the Reds looking for a new owner. I wish the Reds would get a new owner.
I don't know if Nick Khan's that rich, unless he can,
and the Bengals,
call the Rock.
Yeah. It's billions and billions.
Yeah.
Thoughts on what TK does with this? Does he go for an ROH deal? So Jimmy, FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business, a while back reported that there was actually an ROH deal on the table from True TV. And Tony Khan has a very specific amount that he sees for ROH. And they were like, no, don't want to do that. But how about we do an AEW like rerun in that slot for that amount? And they agreed to it. And now that's why AEW is on True TV on Friday nights for the Dynamite rebroadcast.
What is the value perception of Ring of Honor now?
That I don't know, but I was shocked to hear that.
Right. Yeah. Cause you think that it's kind of how I felt when NXT went to the CW. I felt that the NXT brand was highly undervalued. And obviously WWE looked at it like a vehicle because CW is broadcast television.
Yeah.
And so maybe Tony should have looked at it the same way. I mean, True TV, they're not the most powerful network, but it's a vehicle for Ring of Honor that they don't otherwise have. But he did what he did.
Yeah. Which one has better odds for TNA, CW or Peacock? I think Peacock, because you could work in the PLE stuff as well.
Yeah, and how much wrestling do the CW want, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were interested in TNA and ROH NWA and ROH before NXT. Is WWE Hockey Network each renewal good business, or could they be underperforming from the network's perspective, not receiving favorable renewal offers, forcing them to find a new home? It certainly is a gamble, but with WWE, they would much rather have the guaranteed money than rely on selling each individual pay-per-view on the merit of each one.
So I remember when Ari Emanuel was interviewed by whoever it was, CNBC, after the Netflix deal was announced with Raw.
Yeah.
They had gotten a renewal on SmackDown. I might be wrong on the numbers, but I think it was around 30%. They had gotten like a 30% increase. Might've been more, might've been 40%. And I talked to Brandon Thurston about this too. WWE hid the markup that they got on Raw in with the rest of the Netflix deal. And when Brandon tried to do the math on it, it was less than they got on SmackDown. And when Ari Emanuel was asked about it, he kind of downplayed it a little bit. I think it's a really big deal to them that they're able to hit these increases. And again, when you're at 180 with Peacock and now you're at 325, the numbers made all the difference.
Yeah.
And that was obviously the catalyst. Again, if did the gentleman say it was Alex Sherman? If there's a way that you can find out the validity of that,
of course, I'll try.
Bidder and who it was, I'd love to know, because I think the increase they got is pretty good.
Oh man, we still have a bunch of Humper chats that I didn't get to. JJ says, Sean, I rarely get to watch live after hearing on the Raw review, you speaking to those defending Brock. Wanted to drop this here and say thank you. Many of us do appreciate you standing up for what's right. Keep up the excellent work. Well, thank you very much. And Just Mazum says, is Cena a scapegoat? His initial tone deafness of the Vince stuff makes me think it was his idea. He would have taken credit instead of denying it. Sunday is easily a top five Cena. Thanks for all you do. NordVPN 2026 stocks are soaring right now. I don't even think I need to do a full read at this stage because I promoted them so much. But I mean this, guys. It's like a few bucks a month on average. You get 4 extra free months. And after 30 days, they'll send you an Amazon gift card. They are just putting money back in your pockets. I mean this sincerely. I have NordVPN. And it is well worth it. But I do think that Cena would have just taken credit for it if it was his thing, Jimmy. I do.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he would just, you know, talk about their rivalry and their history. And he was Brock's first match back in 2012. So I agree with you. It sure sounded to me like it was the buck being passed around on that one. It was the communication was strange. Same thing with on Raw. When Michael Cole said a very quick blurb about, I talked to Nick Khan and he said that him and Hunter called Brock and said, it's time to come home. And nothing was said about, you know, Cena wanted the match or anything to that level, but it was also the on television explanation too.
Do you think Stephen A. Smith will be in pre-shows or involved in any other way in WWE? Yeah, I do. I think they will integrate all their ESPN personalities in and it's going to be bad. Michelle says, as time goes on, will WWE move all their current content from Peacock to ESPN? Just the PLEs, the library is not going over. So that's also a factor in this, in the increase of what they got from Peacock. It's for less. And this is what it's for less content. And this is what WWE has specialized in. And you got to give them a lot of credit from a business stance. They launched the network, they cannibalized their own pay-per-views, and they said, well, here's the thing. We'll sell a lot more network subscriptions than pay-per-views, but as a result, we'll grow our base. Then they put NXT on the network. And then what do? They went out and they relicensed it. They went out and created their own like Tough Enough with LFG and all that and sold it. They had their own bios. Remember, Jimmy, that was a part of the $9.99, all these documentaries. Mm-hmm. Well, then they hit up A&E and they said, well, how about you just take some of our footage and we'll let you interview people and you can produce them and we'll license those to you as well. They relicensed all this stuff individually. And now the library, it looks like they'll I would imagine it's going to be all YouTube related stuff. And that's a great way to cultivate an audience as well, is to make your library accessible, but still monetize it.
I also think that the library didn't work for them the way they expected.
Sure.
I think they discovered really quickly people wanted the live new content, because you could still, even when the network launched, you could still go on YouTube and look up matches.
I think it's important for them to do that because they can monetize that to a very good degree on their own. Look at all the buzz they do. They do a phenomenal job on WWE Vault.
I check it out all the time. Yep.
It's incredible. Does Saturday night's main event air on Netflix internationally, or was it just Peacock and NBC? Would that still air on Peacock with the ESPN deal?
I could tell you Saturday night's main event in Canada airs on YouTube Live.
There you go.
Yeah.
And again, that goes along with the Google deal. It would not shock me to see them reach a deal with YouTube, a specific deal with YouTube,
right,
and air like AAA and AAA content and NXT PLEs and Saturday night's main event there. I think that there is a market into making it. It's a big reason why we don't take all of our post shows and put them behind the paywall, Jimmy. We've got to sell the paywall.
Right now on Peacock, because I don't get Peacock. So right now on Peacock, do they show the post shows?
I don't know.
Like the SummerSlam post show.
I think so. I think so. They do the pre-shows for sure.
Okay, because that also was on YouTube here. So for me, when I want to watch the post show, Netflix doesn't air it. You got to watch it on YouTube.
Yes. Any word on getting the Fightful Espanol account fixed, Jimmy?
So I'm starting to I told Sean, like, I didn't expect I'd be putting the kind of hours I'm putting into Fightful. I'm starting to work on it. I have somebody new that's coming in to work for me, and she's got a good social media background. So we're going to do our best. Yeah. I should connect with Louie and see where he's been at with that. But
yeah, because I mean, we had like 5,000 followers on that bad boy. To stoke some positivity, want to recommend something that's been making me happy. Absolute Wonder Woman by Kelly Thompson. It's a book about a kind hero being kind and strong in the face of a darker world. High recommendation. We encourage people to check that out. Also, Jimmy Van's book up there.
There you go. The Storytelling Salesman is for anybody who is looking for tips on how to do better at your job, maybe how to do better managing people. Maybe there's things you're frustrated with and you're looking to improve. It's for anybody, whether you have a startup, whether you're a manager, whether you're in your first job. And so check it out, storysalesman.com, or you can get it from the Fightful shop.
Rusty Shackelford says, good evening, Sean and Jimmy, who sing the Fightful jingle at the start of your videos. And why does it sound exactly like Ollie Davis? This sounds like Ollie Davis.
It's definitely not Ollie Davis. And I feel terrible, but I forget the gentleman's name because it's been a long time.
Right?
Trevor Strong. There you go.
Trevor Strong. He used to do a lot of our stuff. We've had a lot of cool intros over the day. It's probably time to get a new one, Jimmy.
Could look into it. Trevor Strong is from Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, he's done a few of them for us. So yeah, we should look at doing one.
At one point we had the voice of NBA Jam do our intro, which let me see if I still got that. Here we go.
I remember
it's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka. 200.
And even in the back, you can hear Trevor Strong singing.
I remember early on when I sent you an intro video and you go, that sounds like Justin Roberts. And I was like,
it
is Justin Roberts. Yeah, he was one of the first ones as well.
Yeah, we still got quite a few super chats and humper chats. Let's see here. David says, dude, you stuck to your guns. Thank you. Have you heard any talent backstage that is uncomfortable or scared? Even if not, this can't be a good for backstage morale. Well, first off, I want to thank you, David. You sent a very generous humper chat. Nobody has come to me and said, I'm scared. One person, like, kind of eye rolled the situation, wasn't thrilled about it. And they said, at least he never comes to work like that. And, there are a lot of people that are, you know, I asked a person when they were renewing their deal around the Vince stuff, do you feel bad about that? And they're like, of course I do. And they're like, but quite honestly, there's a significant chance that everybody's money is dirty no matter where it comes from. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But I mean, that is a natural question that a lot of people ask. They're like, will there be walkouts? Will there be, there won't be. And like if he actively goes backstage and behaves like that, yes, there will be people that take huge issue with it. And, but I've just not heard that.
I tend to believe that Hunter runs a tighter ship, different environment than Vince did.
Yeah. DNC Digital says craziest thing is them getting more money for less. Well, I mean, AEW did that as well. AEW got more money for less content that they were providing to WBD. Like, so they ended up getting rid of Rampage. They got their exclusivity back, so they could put stuff on other channels, and they only did Collision and Dynamite. And I don't think they do Battle of the Belts anymore either. So AEW did that as well.
I want to ask you this as a journalist, even though this is not wrestling related. What do you think about the NFL taking an ownership stake in the news network that's going to cover the NFL?
I've got some pretty heavy issues with it. Jimmy, you and I have been able to do whatever it is that we want to do on Fightful because it is independently owned. And I have watched it happen in wrestling. I saw it happen. Ryan Satin's a good friend of mine. Where's Pro Wrestling Sheet now? Where, like, what happened with Wrestling Inc.? I remember when Wrestling Inc. got sold to Static Media, I told you about an experience that I had with one of the gentlemen who was running it, and how they were like, oh, hey, writers, by the way, you're going to be writing a lot more words for the same amount of money. Like, when conflicting interests to the original purpose of an item, whether it be media or a product, conflict with each other, you're going to see natural changes to that and natural changes to the coverage. And I do think that there are an awful lot of inspirations and intentions, and I don't know what the other word I'm looking for.
I just look at it like, how do you cover something nonpartisan when they essentially are your boss? Although, like, they own a minority stake, but still, how do you cover something nonpartisan when they have ownership?
I mean, say there's a huge, huge lawsuit against WWE similar to this, or a scandal. How does ESPN go about covering that? Because you can't then say, well, it's scripted pro wrestling, we can't cover that, when they're on the network.
Yeah. It definitely makes it harder, because you'd be like, they give an update on the Vince lawsuit, and then they'd say, by the way, tune into the Royal Rumble this Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, like, listen, I what we do, I it's a very weird thing to balance. I had people saying, oh, you shouldn't have been covering Dominic talking about chicken tenders after the Brock thing. And I'm like, we do not have a period of mourning. We have a staff of 40 that we're trying to make sure get paid and have their bills, including a dozen people whose primary sources of income is Fightful. So we're still going to cover the silly bullshit that we cover, but there are times we have to cover very serious things. I think we do a very good job of balancing those things. And I understand that for some people, that's not the case. But fortunately, there are a lot of great places that, one, only do silly bullshit, and a lot of other places that do very serious stuff almost all the time. But there are certainly some conflicts to a lot of this type of stuff. ESPN, NFL Network, ESPN, WWE. Somebody says, time for Sean to get ESPN sources. Jimmy, without revealing what I told you.
Yeah.
There's somebody very, very, somebody in a good place in ESPN that I, well, there's one that I spoke to today, and there's another one that I mentored coming up, and they were very excited to continue to do some work. And then another person that I spoke, a rep that I spoke with, that was like, man, can't wait to do some more work with you guys. And that made me happy to hear. I've got quite a few ESPN sources, actually. When was it that they, I think it was like 2018 when I got a contact from ESPN, and I looked at it and I was like, you know, a bunch of people just got fired from there, so I probably shouldn't go there because they'll fire me real quick. Meet Normus. Okay, so I've talked about this before. Meet Normus says they tried to hire him. To be fair, a lot of those people aren't there anymore because they just, is that Shams, no, but it's somebody in a comparable position in other sports. I'll say that. The reality is a lot of sports coverage people are also big wrestling fans. So a lot of us will talk to each other, and I'll be wanting sports scoops, and they're going to be wanting wrestling scoops. Jimmy, there have been NBA trades that I have heard about 2 months before they materialized because of people that were just like bullshitting. And I'm like, really? Really? Somebody says, in the weeds, the ESPN. Jimmy, let me show you something. And to which Jeremy replied, well, now I got to fight him. I was watching TV yesterday and I saw something and I was like, all right, when did this happen? When did this pop up? When did they see this? As we still do have a bunch of humper chats and super chats. This is on TV, on like MLB Network.
Is that new?
It was yesterday.
No. But did this show just happen, like, to get created?
I think it's a segment. It's a segment. But I'm like pretty close to ours. But Nudlack City says, guys, time to call out for things for what they are. Today's MAGA world, which Triple H, WWE is a part of. Racism, sexism, sex trafficking, being a creep. None of it is a deal breaker. If you support the company, politics, WWE doesn't care anymore. I mean, I want to make it very clear that my opinion on what WWE deems acceptable has changed significantly over the last 4 months. Like, when people would ask me, will this person ever be in WWE? It used to be like, no, I don't think so. And now I can't rule almost anybody out, Jimmy. Like, it's...
You know what? I didn't think Brock would ever be back. I thought he'd be back.
I thought he'd be back, but I thought it would be after the resolution whether of the lawsuit.
Yeah, but he's not getting any younger either, you know? So I didn't think
he'd
be back.
What will he not be able to do at 50 that he...
I suppose.
You know what I mean?
He ain't doing
like the crazy stuff he used to do. He's clotheslining and suplexing people.
But Vince, I just have a hard time seeing it. Like like we talked about before, I always thought that Ari Emanuel kind of played him to take the company from him. I always believed it. And I think that it was deliberate that what they did. I don't think they want him there in any capacity. So I just don't see it, man. Vince, I don't see it. I guess we'll see.
Got anything on the next AEW game? No, I think they're going to wait way, way, way closer to releasing it before they do that deal, because they set unrealistic expectations. Any word on Karrion Kross and Scarlett? Seems like WWE is using the chaos of the news to let him go away without comment. Is Karrion Kross and Scarlett done with WWE or are free agents? Their contracts are up this weekend. I will say what I have always said. It would not serve Cross and Scarlett any benefit to tell anybody that they have renewed their deals. It would be better for his buzz if he allowed people to think that. But what I will tell you is that WWE sources confirmed to me they were not backstage at Raw, and they have not been approached for new deals, but they have not been told that their deals are expiring. This was all on FightfulSelect.com this week.
And it's clear that they started putting him on television, put him on a PLE, got him merch because they were looking to get him re-signed, right?
And it's hard for me to believe that with all that one, they aren't going to come back. I do expect them to get lowballed.
And they also promoted his book on television too.
They promoted Jackie his book Redmond on TV. He was mentioned on TV, but also the stipulation wasn't fulfilled. He was supposed to say that Sami Zayn was right or that he was wrong or something. And that never happened. If WWE was smart, they should have PLEs included in the subscription and not separate when it comes to the ESPN deal. That'd be better for both. Well, I mean, you're probably also going to see a lot more commercial integration into this as well, because they're going to look to make that money back any way they can. And it's not just going to be via subscriptions. But if you have cable and ESPN, you do get that service. Oh, here's a good one. Loved what I saw from Chris Park Abyss on Unreal. Do you think he'll ever get a chance to be in a Rumble or anything? Think he deserves his flowers. So I just want to say this. Cody Rhodes has a phenomenal podcast that he does. It's incredible. And he and Kevin Owens talked about this. And Cody said that he pitches it all the time.
About Abyss?
About Abyss. And yeah. Kevin Owens is like, yeah, but now he hasn't wrestled in years. He's not as big as he used to be. All that stuff. And Chris Park Abyss told me personally, he's retired. He's happy doing what he's doing, but he said, never say never, but also like, yeah,
The dude's going to have a stroke, man. Who? You know, Chris Park, he's such an emotional guy.
Oh gosh. That's him. He's such a lovely gentleman. Yeah. Like, it's wild to see when people like Adam Cole can play these dastardly human beings and like
sweetheart Abyss. Of human being. Yeah.
They're so nice. Will TK try to do something big to counter this? I don't think that's a good idea. I think the right thing to do is to always stay the course and don't look like you are reacting to them. And look at how well that has served AEW over the last 6-7 months. I think they need to get their creative a little bit better, a lot better, since All In, but yeah. Come on, Tony Khan, give us a two-night red, white, and blue rope show at Yankee Stadium. 70 years, we wait for pro wrestling there. You got to predict the New York weather. And that's not easy to do outside.
I don't know what they're going to draw to Yankee Stadium. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw a rumor that Peacock is a front runner for TNA and AAA. Could this be possible? And would it be good for TNA's business? Anything that puts more money.
Absolutely.
Anything that puts more money in TNA's pocket is good for their business. Because right now, they're not getting like anything.
I was going to say, anything that puts some money in TNA's pocket. 100%.
If Fightful comes along and offers them $20,000 to air TNA for the next month, they should probably just take it.
But I wouldn't offer it.
Yeah, I wouldn't offer it either. SRS versus Stephen A. Smith in a first take match. Stephen A. Smith is deceptively tall. I think it was.
Was he?
I think it was either I went to lunch with Denise or Demon Diva in, I think, L.A. maybe, and he was. He was in the booth next to us and he was really tall. He had a cowboy hat on and like a motorcycle jacket. Two Marks Pod says Edge Cope contract up soon. Cena chances? No, I don't think his deal's up anytime soon. He's got a lot of injury time. New Lack City. Oh, so something we haven't even talked about, Jimmy. The Hurt Syndicate AEW story conveniently dropped after the Brock WWE ending press conference. Same thing politicians do when they don't want their Epstein story. They plant or exaggerate stories. We aren't dumb. New Lack City, I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I got to tell you, you could not be more wrong on this. And I want to tell you, I appreciate your business, but I have seen this conspiracy theory out there for a very long time. Jimmy, did I tell you about the meeting that I had with MVP in April at Squared Circle Expo? Don't say what it's about. But did I tell you about that?
If you did, I don't remember. You might have.
I'll tell you off the air. But this has been a conversation for almost 3 months. It's been something that's been bubbling under. It's been something that discussed. I cannot make this more clear. This is not a WWE-fed or planted story. The person who put it out there on his Twitter spaces buried WWE the entire time. The J-Cup gentleman. It's just stuff that I had heard murmured about. And then when it started to make its way out, a lot of talent were willing to talk to me about it. I cannot convey this more. I am not in the business of reporting news about AEW that is planted by WWE or vice versa. In fact, when WWE first did the Fast Nationals, I verified them. And then week two, I realized what happened. And I said, no, I'm not running these. And then I told people this is where it's coming from. So no, this is not a WWE planted story. That is not a thing that I participate in. Like goofballs like Alfred Conaway do that. I don't do that stuff. Absolutely.
Do you want to tell the story high level?
What?
The Hurt Syndicate story.
So, yes, there is some frustration surrounding MVP specifically. He doesn't like Speedball Mike Bailey, which has been the most baffling thing to everybody in this, because Mike Bailey is like a... He's a super nice guy. Don't know why, but he has been very specific and open, MVP, that he doesn't want Hurt Syndicate losing to Jet Speed. Now, I don't know that that was ever brought up, but he also doesn't want them losing to FTR. Didn't want them to at All In, supposedly, or Forbidden Door. MVP has told people that they would rather lose to the Outrunners or Gates of Agony or Private Party. And I was told that they actually gave Private Party some advice, get in the gym, beef up, which we have seen. But then there were sources when I would double source that they're like, yeah, but just remember, they've already beaten all those teams like pretty soundly on TV. There's definitely some frustration surrounding that. But honestly, when I ask people, they're like, yeah, there is. But everybody just kind of ignores it because our locker room's been so good for 2025. Like, there are an awful lot of people that are just like, man, they think that even Speedball tries to remove himself from it. So there is that. I have not heard anything about them leaving AEW. Maybe they will or something, but I haven't heard that at all. They've got multi-year deals. There's a number of years left on the deal. We've got a lot more on FightfulSelect.com. We had been told that maybe Swerve and Ospreay had been in their plans, but then Ospreay's whole creative got blown to hell as a result of that, as a result of his injury. So, yeah.
Why is it that you think, and let me say first, I mean, you know, wrestling locker rooms, you're going to have egos. I'm not defending sure. MVP, but it doesn't surprise me either because you're going to have that. Why is it that we've seen some veterans come in to AEW and they fit like a glove? John Moxley, yes. Brian Danielson, Adam Copeland, Chris Jericho, they fit like a glove. But then we had others come in where things didn't work out well. Obviously, CM Punk is the big example. Rusev, I guess Aleister Black, you could put in there too. And now we're hearing this about MVP. Why is it, do you think, that there's this, for some, it's magic, and then for some, it just doesn't work? Do you think that it could be, at least in part, because they're accustomed to working with someone like a Vince McMahon or a Triple H who
yes.
have a certain reputation, and now they're working for a lifelong wrestling fan whose dad is a billionaire, and maybe they don't have the same level of respect?
That is exactly why, and I'm not saying that this is the situation here, but a lot of people like that think that they can walk all over Tony Khan, and
right.
they realize, oh, wait, it's not the same as it's perpetuated online. Like, you got to go through people. And then, like, I've had somebody say, well, doesn't that mean they've got creative control? No, it means they've got free will. And, like, what are you going to do? Hold Lashley down and pin him and all that stuff? So what you're going to try to do is find a creative way to work around their input and preferences to avoid a lawsuit or a terrible relationship or anything like that. But definitely a lot of the frustration does come from people thinking that they view themselves as on a higher plane because of the WWE connection and all that. And then there's a lot of people that's like, well, I mean, how did WWE do with them? Because they got out. You know what I mean?
And some some guys just really wanted to be part of the solution. You know what I mean? Brian and Moxley are the first two that I think of. They just wanted to be part of the solution.
When CM Punk had said something, did the presser, and was like, nobody here has done anything, been anywhere, etc. Yeah. Whatever, like that implication. A few days later, Jericho, Moxley, and Brian Danielson held that meeting, and they're like, nobody can say that about us three, and right. we believe in you guys. Like, it was a very that meeting doesn't get talked about enough, because immediately after that, Moxley and Jericho re-signed multi-year deals to show their dedication to AEW, and they did a locker room meeting and said, we've been everywhere, and we've been to the top of everywhere, whether it be New Japan, WCW, ROH, you know, WWE, WrestleMania, and they really spoke to that. And I think sometimes you need that sort of leadership. But listen, I don't hear a ton about Lashley and Shelton in that regard. Maybe it's just convenient omission and maybe a pile on of MVP or something like that. I've spoken with MVP a number of times, and MVP is all about his business and will keep the same energy no matter who you are or what you say. He is the realest dude out there in that regard. Like, if he says something, you better believe that he means it, and he will say it to you in any particular purpose. And
I guess I question, like, why would Tony even want to have that element around?
I don't think that he knew.
I see.
I don't think that he knew. I mean, from what I had heard, the people working on the creative around the original Swerve pitch wanted to bring all them in because they saw a great idea of it. But I don't know. Man, we got some more super chats, Humper chats. New Lack City said, sorry, I meant to add this. Ric Flair got in trouble for the Vice documentary and everyone just forgot. Terry Runnels spoke out on Brock exposing himself to her against his wishes. It's clear WWE feels like they don't need to be accountable for anything now. Yeah, I mean, that is also a thing that people forget, is that those allegations are also out there. And again, not criminal, but certainly, I mean, criminal charges weren't filed, but that is a criminal act alleged. But also, WWE should have done a better job with that in general. Mr. Straightfire says, do you feel as far as seasons go, WWE Unreal will be less authentic, more situations like Seth's injury just for the show and less reaction from the talent and gorilla? Oh, Jimmy, am I excited to answer this one? Because I thought the first season was shockingly authentic. I was very surprised. And then I noticed a little something this weekend, Jimmy. We had a great interview. Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert interviewed Chris Weaver, the director of Netflix's Unreal. It's on our channel. And they did a great job. And you would never know what he looked like or who he was if you hadn't seen that interview. And then I see Becky's backstage video, and I adore Becky as a human being and as a performer. And she says, don't believe everything you read on the internet. And I was like, well, now hold on. There was one outlet reporting that Seth was definitely hurt. If you go back and look at my tweets, I say it's being treated as serious backstage. And then by Tuesday, I said, this is a Machiavelli situation. And I'm like, read on the internet. This was an angle on your pro wrestling show.
I thought she was talking about her video. I thought she meant her video.
Maybe. But that's, listen, I'm not speaking about her individually. I'm speaking about the reception to it.
Yeah.
But she said, yeah, you know, that's how people react in general. No issues with Becky. Her being a part of the work, good. Them doing the work, good. No problem with it. But in the corner of that video, I saw Chris Weaver with a camera. And I was like, okay, he's not going to go there just to chill out.
Right.
The second season. So the first season was authentic. I think the second season will be the look how smarter we are than all of you fans and all of you media, than all of the podcasters and reaction streamers. Look how much smarter we are. And then season three will be a work. That's what I think.
What are your thoughts on Rollins essentially working the boys?
No problem with it. Now, in this, it didn't affect anybody. And he claims he only told a couple people than that knew.
Yeah.
More people than that knew. But in this situation, no. Some cause for concern, okay. I don't really have a great problem with it here. When you're bringing in somebody that causes a lot of issues into a company, that's a little bit more, but...
Do you think that this is going to make other talent want to do the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I will say this. So I saw some people trying to compare it to WCW, right? Because WCW did it a lot, and they tried to compare it. And I look at it like, how can you compare it when in WCW, we're talking 25 plus years ago, the internet wasn't what it is today. Just digital landscape wasn't what it was today. It was easier to hide things. Yeah, they did do some crazy shit, like Bischoff legitimately released Brian Pillman, and then Brian Pillman used that to get a deal with WWE, and they did it because they wanted to keep the shoot going. But it's just not... Rollins really wanted this to work. You know what I mean?
And it's within the context of kayfabe. All this is a kayfabe storyline as well. He got hurt at the end of a match and was willing to lose that because he saw the grander prize of the WWE title, and then went on Rich Eisen. Adam Pearce said, your medical team lied to my medical team.
Right.
Like, it made sense from a kayfabe perspective. It wasn't just them going out there and saying, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to leak fake information to the dirt sheets. That's not what this, what it was. They knew that a lot of this stuff would get out there,
right?
But that wasn't the pure intent. Like, nobody in WWE came up to me and said this. I was reaching out to them, and then it was, well, it looks like it's serious back here, because they worked the medics. They told the medics that this was a part of it. Like, I got no problem with that because it worked within kayfabe. But here's a good one that you can answer after seeing the rundown from last week, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Was the Nikki Becky promo scripted? Based on what you saw last week and I showed you, what would you say that answer is?
You're talking about like Becky's line about Cena?
Yes.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yes. Everything you see out there, guys, outside of maybe Charlotte going, first time you all have chanted, you deserve it. Like, that might be ad-libbed. The promo materials are scripted verbatim. I showed Jimmy CM Punk and Paul Heyman's scripted verbatim promo that they were given.
Yeah, I think people are looking at it like, was this another Tiffany Charlotte kind of thing?
No.
But Becky's not Tiffany. Like Tiffany was still pretty new. Becky's not Tiffany. Oh, I didn't think for a second it was improvised. Becky's a pro. I didn't think that for a second.
We got a couple more questions. Brian Medina says, refuse to pay $30 a month for a PLE when some of them are bad. I hate jumping. WWE Network, Peacock, Netflix, now ESPN. Get that NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm telling you guys. And T.O. says, just to clarify, if I have ESPN on YouTube TV and ESPN Disney bundle, I'm not going to have to pay the $30. That is correct based on the information that's been provided. If you'll be able to log in with your YouTube TV credentials. Do you think TKO will ever expand into acquiring an NHL, NFL, NBA, MLB team to further their sports reach, Jimmy?
I don't know how they get the financing.
Yes.
I mean, nothing would surprise me, I guess, at this point. But I don't know how you get the financing.
Do you think TKO, with Dana White, with like Nick Khan, with even members, like talent members that have accrued tons and tons of money, like God forbid Conor McGregor, you know, like TKO at its heart, remember, is a talent agency, Jimmy. And what happens with a lot of those agents? They end up buying like insane things. I wouldn't rule it out as like an ownership group that then becomes a talent group. And then they use all this accrued talent to then promote their brand, their team, all that stuff. I think there is a world of which that happens.
Wasn't there something that happened like that? Wasn't there something where there was a bunch of athletes and then they all owned?
Oh yeah, something? A few times.
No. There was one where it was through an agency and a bunch of them owned like small percentages. I can't recall anymore, but maybe something like that would happen where if they were one member of an ownership group, like you're saying, that's possible. Otherwise, sure. I don't see them getting, you know, $12 billion in financing, whatever the hell it would be.
We've got just a few more super chats, humper chats. Wrestle Cheddar says, at which wrestling company or any which wrestling company leaves the most money on the table? And why is it Stardom? Just fancy being different and asking about something else. I think that if Stardom just simply added an English speaking commentary team and put a lot more of their stuff on TV on a regular basis, even if it was remotely, you remember how they would have Showdown Joe do commentary Ryzen. Remotely for Ryzen?
Yes.
I think that would really open them up to a bigger audience. I absolutely do. There's a specialization there. And I think that a lot of people would actually have their eyes open to that. I used to have people that would fight me tooth and nail when I said, oh, New Japan should add a English speaking commentary team. And then they got on Access and they blew up in the US. Mm-hmm. And doesn't Stardom have an English commentary team? I meant like in a broader, more accessible, like providing of the content. Like I think they could do a lot better than that in order to expand their base in that regard. And it's like it's available, but they should market it a little bit more. I think Stardom would have a real opportunity to shoot through the roof there. We've got Josh saying, if it includes access to things like college football, I may do it because I can justify $30 to access multiple things under one umbrella. It will. And NFL network related things. If PLEs are now $30, do you think it's possible that more than 5 match card PLEs with that increase of pricing? I think they will. They still got so many masters to serve, Jimmy. I think we might not see Saturday night's main event because I think that's been the main thing that's diluted WWE TV and PLE cards of late has been that. The fact that they got to put stuff on Saturday night's main event and you lose 4 or 5 good matches.
Have you heard that they might come back in Saturday night's main event?
No, I haven't heard any details on that.
I agree with what you said. I believe that Hunter believes that a 5-match show is more digestible.
I do too. I agree with that. It's just that they put so much goddamn downtime in between it. Yes. They could put 6 matches.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. Yep.
And Alex Fitzgerald says, I know Buddy is injured, but I love to see Buddy and Brody King take the tag titles. If done right, that would be a great feud with the Hurt Syndicate. I completely agree with that.
They're believable.
Brody King is massively over, Jimmy, to the point to where I'm like, maybe he should win the Continental Classic this year. And Buddy, upon returning, like I know that right now Brody's got Bandido and they are a really, really good team. Like they work great together, but Buddy coming back to save, to like help him would get a great reaction. And I think, I honestly think that Buddy is a guy that the Hurt Syndicate would look at and say, okay.
Respect. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I talk about Hulk Hogan's funeral?
Yes, sure.
Get a minute.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I posted about it on Twitter and I got a lot more attention than I expected. So I want to talk about it. So his funeral was yesterday, August 5th, at a church in Largo, Florida. I had heard he was cremated. Matter of fact, Bubba the Love Sponge said he was cremated, but they had a closed casket, so I don't know about that. The list of names who came to pay their respects, it was like a who's who of wrestling legends. And I'll name some of them. This might not even be everybody, but I'll name some of them. Ric Flair, Jacques Rougeau, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Diamond Dallas Page, Sean Waltman, Dean Malenko, Rob Van Dam, Ted DiBiase, Brutus Beefcake, Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, Jimmy Hart, Paul White, Adam Copeland, Tito Santana, Kevin Nash, B. Brian Blair. And then there were other people there, like Kid Rock, Theo Vaughn, Bam, do you spell his last name Margera? Or do you pronounce it Margera, the guy from Jackass?
Bam Margera.
Margera.
You don't remember the infamous Hulk Hogan tweet?
Yes, I do, but I don't damn, follow.
Bam, wish you were still around.
Yeah. Well, he was there. Conrad Thompson was there. All of the McMahons were there. Vince, Linda, Stephanie, Shane, and Triple H. And I was told that Vince McMahon gave a speech that was considered a surprise because apparently he wasn't mingling with people before his speech. Apparently he just came out, did the speech, spoke for a few minutes, and then he was gone. Yeah, I saw people saying that joke. I know. But apparently, Vince did the speech and was gone, and he asked everyone to give Hogan one last standing ovation. He cupped his hand to his ear, like classic Hogan fashion, did that to each section of the church. And I was told that when he was gone, it was like the Wizard of Oz. He was there, and then he was gone. And that's what I was told. There were fake parody accounts on Twitter, which I know you love, Sean, that were posting bullshit. So some of them said Donald Trump was there, Willie Nelson was there, friends of mine that were there. So after the ceremony was over, they had a private function at Hogan's Beach Bar in Clearwater.
Yeah.
Friends of mine that were there, they hit me up and they said, did somebody tell you to say that Willie Nelson's here? And I said, I didn't hear Willie Nelson's there. They had heard it from one of these parody accounts. So
complete
bullshit. Unfortunately, his daughter Brooke was not there. And she did an interview with Bubba the Love Sponge yesterday morning, giving a lot of backstory.
I'm just saying, shocked.
Hogan did her dirty, man. Like, well, he did.
I mean, I get that. And the people around him. But I'm shocked that when you go, no matter how dirty you were done, that the outlet of which you choose to tell that story is Bubba the fucking Love Sponge.
After I think she's known him since she was a kid and everything. Yeah. Well,
what he did to Hogan. Like,
so what did he do to Hogan?
Long messenger.
What did he do to Hogan?
Filmed him against his knowledge.
So was that against his knowledge? Was it?
Yes, it was against Hogan's knowledge.
Okay. Cause I'll tell you one thing that Brooke told him on the air. She said, Dad knew that you didn't leak it. And Bubba was,
but he filmed it.
Yeah, I guess I thought Hogan knew that he filmed it. I don't remember the details anymore.
And he said, like, he said stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the details.
And
he goes,
well, she said that he forgave Bubba but could never say anything about it.
Right.
But, like, yeah, Joel says that she went on his show and effectively absolved him of any wrongdoing. And, like, completely separate of the things that happened afterwards. Filming someone doing that without their knowledge is ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't remember if Hogan knew or not. I didn't remember. But the other
because Bubba said it on the thing. He's like, well, we could say, like, he made jokes about it.
Okay. Well, the other thing that Brooke said was she said that her dad always said, I don't like funerals and I don't want one. And she said that's why she chose not to go.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was an unfortunate aspect. And then one other thing I heard that was kind of sad was Jimmy Hart was really had a hard time. Him and Hogan went back to the late 70s in Memphis together and obviously were good friends. I was told that Jimmy went up and kissed the casket and had a really hard time.
Jimmy is such a lovely dude. I'm going to tell you a funny story about Jimmy Hart. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. Freaking love that guy. It is our running joke in media that Jimmy Hart is everywhere. He is everywhere, to the point to where, like, a little bit of hyperbole here, but they'll be like, Roman Reigns can't make it. We got Jimmy Hart for you guys.
Right.
I've interviewed him 4 times as a result. And Denise and I were at Jeremy Lambert's wedding in just outside of Cleveland. Right. And we joked about it. We had just joked about it at the table about, like, oh man, Jimmy Hart's going to go pop up. I go in the bathroom, I take a piss, and there's an AIW poster for that night that says Jimmy Hart in attendance. Oh, really? At AIW in Cleveland. And I was like, oh my God.
You know, Jimmy Hart. So I've heard tons of things about Jimmy Hart over the years because him and Hogan were so close.
Yeah.
Nothing but positive stuff. Jimmy Hart's got a heart of gold. Great. When he, apparently from what I heard, when he went to Cleveland last week for Hogan's ceremony thing on Raw, apparently he also did appearances for WWE when they were in Cleveland. And can you imagine, man? So this guy was like grieving with the loss of one of his best friends. He was in tears standing on the ramp at Raw,
yep.
But he still did appearances for that guy is that guy's a trooper and nothing but positive things to say about Jimmy Hart. He's one of those guys, you know how you'll hear about certain guys, no one has anything bad to say about them.
Nobody.
Jimmy Hart's
great.
Yeah.
He is the man. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
We got one more Humper chat before we go. Jay Holler says, wanted to ask if my bookie plans to do AEW lines or if it's only going to be WWE. Notice they've only been WWE so far. I've asked them. I haven't got an answer. I'm going to follow up again. I will continue to give you guys odds for AEW and favorites as well on select. But we are 34 out of 35 on our lock picks. Lost our first lock pick last week. And it's because that goddamn jelly roll went to Triple H. And said he wanted to lose.
Yeah.
That's why. But Jimmy Van, anything you got? We went 94 minutes, like the old days.
Yeah. This is late for me. I felt the need to stick around today. So this was late for me, but I do have to jet. But hopefully people are going to be less mad at me now. And if they're not, I mean, I'll get over it.
Listen, I don't give a shit if they're mad at you. I hope they're less mad at Fightful. The 40 people that come that actually – do the work. Jimmy works at Fightful an hour and a half a week, guys.
That's an absolute lie. That is a lie.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Si conoce a alguien que vive de forma ilegal en Estados Unidos, pronto lo volverá a ver, porque volverá a casa. Me llamo Kristi Noem, soy la Secretaria de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos. Puede evitar problemas descargándose la app CBP Home y deportándose de forma segura. Recibirá ayuda económica, un vuelo gratis y la posibilidad de volver de forma legal. Si no lo hace, lo encontraremos, multaremos y echaremos a la fuerza. Bajo el fuerte liderazgo del presidente Trump, nuestras leyes se cumplen y nuestra frontera es segura.